Well, good afternoon, and on the line right now with me from his home is Mickey Fulp. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Good to be back.
Glad to be here. Crazy day for commodities all over the place today, eh?
Yeah, well, if you look at what's happened over the last week, everything's been flat. Gold's lost $5, so we'll call that flat. Silver closed a week ago today, the same price as today at 1906. There has been some movement in the PGM trade, basically because the 14-week strike that had a settlement in sight last week, well, it's not in sight this week. So we saw platinum go up $30 over the week, and palladium hit a 2.5-year high today, currently at 815.
Wowzers.
Yeah,
that's considerable. Now, is a lot of that pegged to the fact that China's growth has been a little off? I mean, the state official number for growth should be 7.25 or 7.5,
mm-hmm.
but they're getting between, well, they got 5.3 last time the numbers came out, and then this time they just came out, and they're up 0.1%. So,
yeah, I'm not sure if anybody really takes those numbers seriously, although the markets seem to react to them,
mm-hmm.
and that's what probably drove down copper today. You know, over the past week, well, a week ago, copper hit a 7-week high since the big correction,
right?
About 307. Today, it's trading right now about 303, and it dropped 4 cents overnight. And really, I think what happened was there was a weaker than anticipated Chinese PMI, the manufacturing index, came in at 50.4.
Mm-hmm.
Analyst consensus was 50.5. So that was enough to knock 3 cents off the speculative copper market. For those not familiar with this, this index is a manufacturing index, and
mm-hmm.
anything greater than 50 is considered an expansion of the economy. So
right.
Basically, the Chinese economy is treading water. It's still growing, but it certainly isn't growing as fast
mm-hmm.
as it was a couple of years ago.
Well, and of course, now they're swimming with sharks too, right? I mean, you know, to use your floating euphemism there. I mean, the reality is the market is craving what they've got there, and they're trying to lock themselves in. I mean, they're trying to secure their middle class. I know that's the reports that have been coming out of China for the last several months anyway.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's what's going on in China and India. India,
mm-hmm.
as we know it. Now, when you really look at it, well over a third of the world's population resides in those two countries. And
that's right.
And that's what's driving the growth, especially in the copper business.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, because they're all looking to live the lifestyle that we are living here in the West, right? So we
absolutely
kind of anticipated that.
And no matter how fascist their government is, they still have some access to the internet, and they see what we have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they want it. And who can blame them?
No, exactly. Well, let's talk, if we can, let's move on to oil and gas, because there's still no decision. The Nebraskan courts haven't made a decision on whether Keystone XL can flow through there. Of course, the U.S. government is holding that decision off. I want to get your spin on that, though, because, you know, every time I talk to you, it's Obama dragging his heels. That's really what's causing this problem. And the Democrats are so indecisive because as we head into the midterms, they don't want to lose any hot seats, right?
Well, that's really the reason. But what's really driven oil and gas over the last few weeks is the oil business is arguably the most geopolitically sensitive of all the commodities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we've seen kind of a stalemate in the Ukraine and Russia, and as a result, WTI's dropped $2.50 over the week. Brent's been flat. Henry Hub is really high for this season. It's trading at $4.82 right now. That's somewhat unusual because generally this is a low demand season. But
mm-hmm.
once again, up where you live, you've had a cold April, and where inventories, natural gas inventories, storage inventories are are more than 50% above 5-year averages. So that's right. What's kind of driven the Henry Hub. Now we'll get into the politics of the Keystone Pipeline. Dave, there's no doubt that Obama's State Department is continuing to delay approval of this. Now we're at 5 years and counting in order to kowtow to a very minor part of the what I would refer to as the eco-fascist left in this country. Because of the midterm election, the Democrats are very concerned. Obama's at his lowest approval ratings of his 5-year tenure now, driven by the tepid economy. The health insurance has really created a lot of backlash in the United States, and then he's kind of bungled the whole Ukraine-Russian situation with a lot of posturing, and Putin called his bluff. So, but if the Democrats lose the Senate, that does not bode well for the Obama administration, and if they pass this if the executive branch approves the Keystone Pipeline, it's going to alienate the far left of the Democratic Party, and they're very scared about that.
Well, even now, that's a clear point, too, because, again, these are the people who tend to vote Democrat. But let's look at the other side, too, because there are a great number of Republican candidates as well in those really hot areas where the pipeline is to go through, and they're facing a challenge in their own districts with Republicans as well, Republican environmentalists, if you will, as if that wasn't an oxymoron.
No, Dave, I haven't seen that. You know, the Republicans are fairly well united on this issue. If you take, I mean, there's polls of the United States population overwhelmingly approve this. The unions are pushing for it. The Republicans are in mass pushing for it.
Well, so if that's the case,
very little.
Let me pause you right there, Mick, because if that's the case, why didn't Bush and Cheney put this thing through? This has been going on for well on 9 years now. Like, why wasn't this approved under Cheney Bush then, if the Republicans were loving it?
You know, I can't think back that far, Dave. I have no idea. I was unaware it had been going on for 9 years waiting approval. I mean, the State Department, the data I looked at today said it had been ongoing, this permitting snafu had been ongoing for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's this particular permitting snafu, but I'm talking about the lines that were going to be run through. I mean, the first time it was stopped was because it was going to go through. I mean, they had to avoid one entire state because...
Well, here's the problem. When they first tried to put it through, they tried to put it through the Sandhill District of western Nebraska, and it probably really didn't belong there. So one thing that has been accomplished over the last couple of years is they've rerouted the thing through eastern Nebraska now. I've been in the Sandhills. It's a lovely area, and it's largely undeveloped. Now, it's debatable whether an oil pipeline would create that much damage to it, but certainly it has much less opposition now in eastern Nebraska than it did before.
Well, you know what? Always a pleasure and great opportunity to talk to you. I know I've been getting some feedback from listeners on the street, by the way, who love the commodity portion of this show, so kudos to you. And I hope you're getting some more followers as well at Mercenary Geologist. It's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist, ladies and gentlemen, mercenarygeologist.com. That's correct, Mickey?
That's correct, at Mercenary Geo's Twitter feed.
There you go. So don't forget, you can contact Mickey by Twitter, you can send him a message anyway, or you can go on to, I would recommend you go on to the Mercenary Geologist and check out some of his musings. He's got some really interesting points. You did your musings on April 7th about the bud industry. The bud bubble, I think you call it.
Yeah, the medical marijuana bubble. And if people are interested, they should take a look at Stockhouse every day. There's a guy named Chris Perry that does a medical marijuana update, and I just love the way this guy writes. He always throws in a couple of zingers in there, and I find it quite amusing. If anybody's interested, I'll be in New York City in 10 days, and we're going to talk about bubbles blown up and burst over the last 6 years or so since the global economic crisis, and we're going to do some forecasting of what's going to happen in the bud biz here.
So that's the Money Show, is that what it's called, or is it called the New York Metal Show?
It's formerly the Hard Assets Conference. It's called Metals and Minerals now.
There we go. So, Mickey Faub, if you're in New York City or if you're going down to the Metals and Minerals show, don't forget to check out Mickey. It's always a great to listen to him live, and you can always, if you can get his ear right after he speaks, it's always a nice change too. Mick, I want to thank you for being here. As always, this broadcast is recorded, and we will be hopefully putting it up on YouTube, but we will be sending it to Mickey, so you'll be able to catch it on mercenarygeologist.com as well. I'm Dave Glover. Thanks again, Mick.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.